I did leave off at verse 12. I'm not even going to read it because if I do, I'm going to get started again. Guys, listen, this book is vitally important. The devil will do whatever he can to take your attention from this book and your time in this book, and he doesn't care where else you put it, just so you're not in that book, because that book is going to help you. That book is going to increase your faith. It's going to teach you right from wrong, moral from immoral, clean from unclean. Amen? Holy from worldly. So, verse number 13, I will read verse 12, though. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Just remember, guys, that book, the Holy Ghost needs to have access to our soul and our body. We've been quickened. We are alive. But we need to give the Holy Ghost access to let him do what he wants to do. Listen, the Holy Ghost wants to conform us to the image of the Son of God. Hopefully today you are more conformed to the image of the Son of God than you were a year ago. And if there's no growth in your life, you should be concerned about that. Because if you're not going forward, you are going backward. Nothing remains stagnant or the same, going forward or back. And then verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not magnified in, what's that word? His. What's the context of his? Steph? I'm sorry? Yeah, but who? It says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in. No. Okay, I know it's Sunday morning. Probably stayed up late watching YouTube or some movie or some sports thing. Well, who's his? Okay, let me read it again. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. It's the word of God. Dan, do this for me. Look up John 1, verses 1 through 3, and then verse 14. Can you differentiate between the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God? No. An old preacher said this, Daniel, if you look, you'll find Jesus on every page. Go ahead, Dan, nice and loud. Verse chapter 1, verse 1 through 3.
The beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God.
Okay, what is significant in your King James Bible when it says, in the beginning was the Word?
Capital.
It's capital. What's it a reference to? The Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Go ahead, Dan.
The same was in the beginning with God, all things were made by him, without him was.
Read verse 14 for me.
The Word, it was made flesh among us, made flesh among us. We beheld his glory, glory of the
Lord. Do you see what I'm trying to get at? Guys, when you read that book, okay, you're reading about the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. He is the living Word of God. Right. He shows us what his will is. What he believes in that book. That is why it is vitally important. Listen, people would not think about not eating or not going here or not going there in their lives. Why don't we think about that for the Bible? Why would we think we could start our day, go through our day, start our week, go through our week, and not read any of God's word? Like you could make it on your own in the flesh. No, I don't think so. So he says, neither is there any creature in verse 13 that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Go with me to Proverbs 15. I want to show you something. When we get the opportunity to witness, it's vitally important that we quote or show as much Bible as we can. Our words aren't going to deal with people's hearts like God's word. Our words will be forgotten. God's words are not going to be forgotten. That is what the Holy Ghost uses to convict. Listen, if somebody is not under Holy Ghost conviction, they cannot get saved. I don't care what they pray. I don't care how long they pray. I don't care what aisle they walk. Are y'all with me? Except the Father draw you. How does he draw you? Through his word, by the conviction of the Holy Ghost of God. And then if you get saved, there will be a change in your life. I wouldn't give you a wooden nickel for anybody who says they got saved and there's never a change in their life. They never went to church. They never read their Bible. They never told somebody about the Lord. Are y'all with me? I have a sister that was in Millersville College, and she went to some, liberal Bible study, everybody sat around, talked about what they thought that they were doing, and they thought this was right. You know, one girl said she thought it was okay to go to a bar with her boyfriend and drink, claim to be saved. And another girl said, well, I think it's okay to sleep with guys, and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, in a Bible study. So she calls me one day, and she said, Michael, this is in the early 80s probably, yeah. And she said, Michael, she said, I've been going to this Bible study, and she said, I've made a decision. I said, oh, well, what was that decision? She said, well, I just made a decision in the Bible study. I said, Eileen, are you telling me you got saved? She said, well, Michael, and she danced around it, you know what I'm saying? And so you think she's saved? She never got in church. She never witnessed to my parents. She raised her two girls Roman Catholic and private Roman Catholic. Does that sound like a saved person to you? But they made a decision. It seems like today's world is real impacted by making decisions. Amen? We need conversions. Amen. So what I want to show you is in Proverbs 15, verse number 11, hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more than the hearts of the children of men? See, in verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 4, it says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Hey, you know, and I know, people think because they don't get caught at something, they're getting away with it, right? I mean, that yo-yo who died in prison and all that stuff that's in the news now, he thought for years he was getting away with that stuff. And you know what happened? He got found out. Yeah. Listen, the Lord is not ignorant of what's going on in not just saved people, but lost people too. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, beholding the evil and the good. When you read that book shows you what you really are and reveals to you what you should be and what you should do. Is that okay? You know, guys, we're living in a crazy... Listen, this society that we're living in today is not the society I grew up in. The culture, Dan, that we're living in today is not the culture. We're living in a child-centered society. That is ridiculous. I was raised in a parent-centered. You kids, be quiet and be not seen. Say amen right there. That's right. But not anymore. I'm going to be honest with you, okay? I see all this. I'm trying to think of the right vocabulary, but I don't want anybody to think that I'm going with the times. Yeah. that I'm changing with the times. No, I am not moving the ancient landmarks. I want the old paths. Are y'all with me? I don't want to go that way. Well, there's only one way. I'm not going to go that way. I got to stay in that book and be constantly reminded that I'm prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. What I listen to is going to influence me. What I watch is going to influence me. Who I hang around with is going to influence me. Say amen. That's right. Tell you, the Lord's been so good to me. I don't want to disappoint him. I do not. Okay. So then we get to verse number 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Now, this is the third let us in chapter number 4. The first one is let us fear in verse 1. The second one was let us labor in verse 11. Now it's let us hold fast. Well, why? Seeing then that we have a what? A great high priest. Daniel, would you look up chapter 7 in Hebrews, verses 26 through 28? And Mrs. Claire, would you look up Hebrews chapter 2, verses 17 through 18, please? Do we not have a great high priest? That's a good reason to hold fast to your profession. Go ahead, Daniel. Do y'all understand, in the Old Testament, okay, whoever the high priest was, he was a human being. Before he could do anything, especially on the Day of Atonement, if you read the scriptures, that priest, if he went in there and he was not right, God was going to drop him dead. So he had to make atonement for himself before he could go in there and make atonement for the nation of Israel. Well, Jesus didn't have to do that. He was God manifest in the flesh. And as we're going to see in our study, though he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Okay, Mrs. Claire, chapter 2, verses 17 and 18.
Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to behave like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation with the sins of the For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted.
That's a great high priest. Amen. I like that word mercy. Why? Because I deserve judgment.
Yep.
Because of his mercy,
amen.
I'm not getting it. No, I'm not talking about before I was saved. I'm talking about since yesterday.
Amen.
Thank God for his mercy. So he says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, that's a reference to his ascension. Are you all with me there?
Amen.
Luke chapter 24, Acts chapter 1. And then it goes on, passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. That's our high priest. Now, you and I are priests, according to 1 Peter, are we not? And we're supposed to offer up spiritual sacrifices to the Lord. Is that correct? What is a spiritual sacrifice you could offer up to the Lord according to the Bible?
Prayer.
Yes, and that's real general. But the praise of our lips, the thanks of our lips. Are y'all with me? Just get into a lost crowd and just say, praise the Lord. Isn't God good? See what that does. You probably have 15 people offended. Another 30 people have to go to the restroom. What do they call that? The safe place or something like that? They're putting them in colleges. You know, the stress of life. You better hope America doesn't have to go to war.
Yeah.
We used to have the greatest military in the world. That is not true anymore. You know. And everything rises and falls on leadership. And one man can do a great amount of damage in 3 years. And he has done it. And then you have, listen, this is how mentally retarded Americans are. They want to reelect that guy. Yeah. I'm so glad I'm saved. Yeah. So, in other words, seeing that we have such a great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, let us hold fast our profession. Okay, the profession is not your salvation. Some people say, see, you got to hold on to your salvation, you don't lose your salvation. That is not true. That's not what it's talking about there. It's your testimony. It's your faithfulness to living for the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't realize all the people, and I'm talking to you now, you don't realize all the people that are watching you. Some are actually hoping that you fail so they can justify their wicked lives. Did Molly get out of jail, out of the hospital?
Yeah.
Did she? Is she doing better? Praise the Lord. Okay. When you're my age and a thought comes to your mind, you got to take care of it right away. Yeah. So, you know anybody that did not hold fast to their profession? I know a lot of them. What does that do? That brings shame on our Savior. That's what it does. See, we should consider the great high priest and how much of a blessing, what he has done for us, what he continues to do for us. And considering that, you should hold fast to your profession of salvation, being saved, and of faithfulness to living for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to show you something. Faithfulness is the greatest testimony of you holding fast to your profession. Do you understand that? Go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. The Bible says this in Hebrews 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. How'd they obtain a good report? By faith. How are you going to be faithful? How are you going to obtain a good report before the Lord? You got to be faithful. Faithful to what? That book. How can you be faithful to a book that you don't know what it says? How can you be faithful to a book that you don't read or you don't study or you don't listen to it being preached, right? How did we get where we're at today? We got in the church. We read our Bibles. Somebody preached the hide off of us on a regular basis, and we did. Nan and I had a wonderful, wonderful time today, just going on and on about the Lord. You know what happened when I got saved? Now, listen, okay, I really do believe that there's intelligence factors in human beings, okay? I think some people are smarter than other people. It has nothing to do with education, just the gifts of God. And Nan and I said this in our reminiscing. We were just dumb enough to believe that when we got into church, we should do what the Bible says to do. And that's what we did, Daniel. I didn't need to know what the Greek said. I didn't need to know what the Hebrew said. I'm telling you, I am thankful for Pastor Griffith. He got up, but he preached. Those priests never did that. But when he preached, it sang to my soul. Are we all okay?
Amen.
Amen. My profession. Let's look at a few verses here. Maybe if you turn your pages, you can wake up. Chapter 3 and verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. If we have a profession, if we're going to hold fast to it, it has to start with the Lord. Let's go to chapter 10 and verse 23. You know, lost people, they don't really understand what happened to us, and they often tell us what? Oh, well, you just got religion. No, we didn't get religion. We got converted, and we have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have benefited from that. 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, For he is faithful that promised. And then chapter 11, verse 13, it says, verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed. That word confessed, Pink says, is the same Greek word for profession. So if you take Pink's word, you can buy that. Confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That's our confession. That's our profession. What are you talking about? We're talking about faith again. Guys, if Hebrews does anything for us, it exhorts us to live by faith and believe God. See, where there's faith, where there is the love of God, there will be a good testimony. That good testimony will be faithfulness. But unbelief, look at chapter 3 and verse 19 again. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. I just read in Matthew, the Lord said, I could not do many miracles here because of their unbelief. I'm telling you, the thing that holds God back, the thing that ties God's hands behind his back, is you and I not believing what he says. And so many times, you know, guys, I've heard it, you know, well, I'm going to pray about that. Guys, there's some things you got no right praying about. Yeah. What you need to do is obey it. Okay? And so when there is unbelief, there's no testimony for the Lord. So then back in Hebrews 4, verse number 15, it says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but it was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I don't know about y'all, but I have lived in that verse for a long, long time. Found a lot of help there. So the fourth let us of chapter 4, here's a good outline that you guys could preach sometime. Let us fear, let us labor, let us hold fast. Let us come, therefore, boldly unto the throne of grace. What would be our motive for coming to the throne of grace? He's our motive, okay? Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace that may obtain mercy and find grace to help. I'm sorry, verse 15, 4, talking about the motive. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. I want to ask you something. Did you ever go up to somebody that maybe you didn't know, but maybe they had a position, maybe it was a preacher, maybe it was a pastor or something, and you went up and you tried to talk to them, and when you were talking to them, they were looking over here or looking over there. Do you know what I'm talking about? Uh-huh. When I was a kid, my parents and those nuns taught us, when you're talking to somebody or somebody's talking to you, look them in the eye and don't be distracted. Dawn, those nuns and my parents taught us, if you did not give them your attention, you were disrespecting them. You with me? Well, when I got saved, you know, I didn't know anything. And so I can remember I went to a meeting one time and I heard this guy preach. And I had just started that little church down in Newport. And we had a little storefront and, you know, I might have had 20 people or something like that. So I heard this guy, went to a big church and heard this guy preach. And boy, he did good. And so I went up to him and I said this to him. I said, hi, I said, my name is Mike Keenan. I said, I'm going to Bible school over here. And I noticed, you know, and I told him, you know, I'm pastoring this little church down there that the Lord started a little while ago. And, you know, I noticed he's looking around because I was a nobody. I couldn't help his ministry. And so then I said this to him, you know, and it bothered me that he wasn't looking me in the eye. And then he said this to me. I said, you know, I thought maybe, you know, you could come preach for us sometime. And he goes, how big is your church? I said, oh, we got about 15, 20 people. He said, listen, I'm real busy, but maybe I can get somebody else to come up there I said, well, thank you very much. And I walked away, and the Holy Ghost brings to my mind what my mother taught me, what my father taught me, and what those nuns taught me. And this is what he said, that man didn't respect you. You were a nobody. Have you ever experienced anything like that? Okay, now, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Did the Lord ever do that to you? Never. Any time of the day or night, and we come to him, he gives us his undivided attention. Why? We're very important to him. We're his children. He died for us. Doesn't that make an impact on you? It does me. And it's you look at this verse, it's all positive. There's no negatives in this verse. Now, why do I need mercy? Because I deserve judgment. So mercy is the withholding of judgment that I deserve. And what's grace? Grace is just help that I could never deserve and that I couldn't do what I need to do without that grace of God. It's all positive. Let us come boldly, because we have not an high priest which can attempt it. It's interesting. Did you ever learn in school that you're not supposed to use a double negative? I was. Okay? But you know what we got here? We got a double negative. Look what it says here. Okay? It says, verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not. Not's a negative, right? We have not an high priest which cannot. Is that a negative? So you got a double negative. So what's that mean? It means I have a high priest that can be touched with the feeling of my infirmities.
Amen.
That's amazing, isn't it? Okay, you think about this. You think everybody in this room, we've had some personal experiences, highs and lows, griefs and sorrows. Is that not right? And each one of us, when we're in the throes of that, we could go to the Lord and we could know that the Lord knows how we're feeling. I was thinking about this when I was studying it, and I thought about Joy and her brother going to be with the Lord. Well, she needs some comfort, and she needs some grace, and she needs some help. Does the Lord know anything about that?
Amen.
Well, when Lazarus died, he wept. He wept. He knows what we're going through. He knows. That's, I don't know about you, but that's a big thing to me. I can say, Lord, you know how sorry and low down I am, so can I get some help here? Let me give you a couple verses. Chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. Brother Caleb, chapter 5, 1 and 2. And then, Joy, while he's looking that up, would you look? Oh, I already read that one. Sorry. Okay. You there? Nice and loud. Okay, this is sort of a an issue. And here's the question they ask. Could Jesus Christ have sinned when he was God manifest in the flesh? Okay, now look, I'm not going to debate it with anybody because it doesn't matter. But me personally, okay, Adam was created in the garden, and the Bible refers to Jesus Christ as the last Adam. Is that correct? So God's blood has to be shed, but God needs a body, and so God prepared him a body. So he has to be the perfect sacrifice, okay? So the question is, when Jesus was on the earth, there's this group that says, yes, Christ could have sinned. And then there's this other group that says, no, there's no way he was God. He could not sin. Are y'all with me? Okay. Now listen to me. Here's the final verdict. He didn't sin.
Amen.
So it's not worth losing any sleep over anything. But in my heart, I believe God manifest in the flesh. He did not have a sinful nature. Did Adam have to sin? He didn't have to. He did not have a sinful nature, but he sinned. I believe Christ had a human nature without the sinful Adamic nature. And I think he could have. But I know he didn't. And so you said, I believe he couldn't. Okay, fine. I'm not going to fuss with you. Are y'all with me? But for me, that shows me that with the power of God in my life, I can resist temptation like the Lord. You don't think that was a real temptation in the desert when the Lord was there 40 days fasting and then he offers them bread and offers them? You don't think that was real? I think it was very real. And I think, how did he deal with temptation? The Word of God. How are you and I supposed to deal with temptation? The Word. We and I'm using this generally, saved people look for excuses of why it's okay to sin. We should be looking for the power of God why we don't have to sin. I guess it's age, guys. But I mean, okay, you know, growing up, Caleb, I was sports nut, okay? I can remember when my first year of Bible school, I did not have classes on Tuesday, I think it was. And I thought that was the Lord blessing me so I could watch Monday night football. I'm being honest. So nobody in this room was any crazier about sports than me. I would rather play them than watch them, to be honest. But I kept up with it. But I got news for you. What's going on in the sports world today? I'll check some scores about Philadelphia teams, and I'll stay up with it like that so I can converse. But I'm telling you what, it doesn't hold any allure for me. You know, when you watch somebody that's getting paid $15 million to make a tackle, $15 million a year to make a tackle, he makes a tackle and he acts like he just conquered the world. Help me here. You're getting paid to do that, yo-yo. Just go back to the huddle. Am I doing okay? But I have to say, it's probably the time over the years that I've been in that book and I've tried to get closer to the Lord. And the songwriter said it this way, the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Amen? I think it's good for us to examine ourselves once in a while and check up and say, am I growing? Am I making any progress in my life? Am I doing any better? Like, Daniel, if you really got honest about that, you say, I really want to know if I'm doing better with the Lord. Just ask your wife. No, I'm not being facetious. She lives with you. I've asked my wife that. I said, am I doing any better? And then she'll look at me and she'll go, do I need to be honest or should I just tell you what you want to hear? I said, I want you to be honest. Say amen. Don't you want to grow? Don't you want your faith? Because without faith, it's impossible. Peter, what you're going to have to do, son, between you and Erica, as you read, as you grow, both in age and spiritually, what does the Bible tell me to do that I'm going to have to trust him to do it? What has the Lord been nagging in my heart about that I've sort of been trying to push off a little bit? That he wants me to do. He wants to take a step of faith. He wants you to trust him. I don't know. He's never let me down. Now, I've had some rough roads, but a lot of times those rough roads are because of bad decisions and a lack of faith. And then, you know, he's merciful and gracious. Okay, so I'm in verse 15. I don't even know what time it is. I sure appreciate you all letting me teach Bible Sunday school. I love doing it. I love studying it. I love preaching. I love teaching. But this book, this is what it's supposed to be. In other words, I am trying to sow seed in our hearts so that seed will come to fruition and bear fruit in our lives for the glory of God. So he says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Okay, Joy, did I give you a verse? Would you look up Psalm 92, verse 15 for me, please? And Cassie, well, you're there. I'm not there yet. But would you look up 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9 for me, please? Tempt it like as we are, yet without sin. What's Psalm 92, 15 say? Never sinned. Tempt it, but never sinned. Okay, so then verse number 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. All points. Like, there it is. Tempt it like as we are. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9, Cass. Okay, when we say that the devil tempts us, you and I know that the devil, if he's here, he can't be anyplace else, right? But we also know that there's powers and dominions and principalities. We know that he has a very organized association of demons, devils, unclean spirits, and that they are all working in conjunction to do what? Devour us. So we have a high priest like Jesus Christ. He was tempted by the devil, was he not? Luke chapter 4. Well, you and I are going to be tempted also. Now, it may not be Lucifer, the devil, but it's going to be unclean spirits. It's going to be devils that are just as influential as if it was Lucifer. Am I making any sense there? And so we know we're going to do it. So we go to the Lord. The Lord was tempted. And so we go. Let's go there. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. So we study our Bibles, we read our Bibles, we see that our Lord was tempted. Okay, how did the Lord deal with the temptation? Luke chapter 4 and verse 4. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Do you know one of the things that has not been magnified as much, I think, as it should be, is you and I memorizing the Bible. Because we're not always going to have the book in our hands when we're getting tempted, but we're going to need the book in our minds and our hearts so that we can fight the temptation. Look at verse number 8. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written. He never said, well, listen, the pastor said we can't do that, right? Well, he never said, well, the world says this is okay. No, he quoted the Bible. And then verse number 12. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So how did the Lord face temptation? He faced it with the word of God. Why? Because there's power. For the word of God is quick and powerful. I need that power in my life. I got to have it. And so he says in verse 16, that has come unto the throne of grace. Now, I'm running out of time, but could you give me an Old Testament link to throne of grace, what you think the throne of grace might be? Okay, how about the mercy seat? Exodus chapter 25 and verses 17 through 22. In verse 22, he says, let us meet there, talking about the mercy seat. I don't have time to go back there, okay? And then we can find grace. There it is again, grace. What is grace? Grace is just positive. Grace, that whole verse is positive. We meet the Lord at the mercy seat. He gives us mercy, and then he gives us grace to go on. That's a good deal, isn't it? Amen. Let's pray. Daniel, closing prayer for us.
God, thank you. God, I pray, Lord, that you give us a good service.
Amen.
I pray that
you help us. Amen. Amen. God bless y'all.